Looking for that last-minute holiday deal for everybody on your shopping list, even your wicked stepmother? Get your last-minute holiday shopping done with time to spare at Amazon.com. Get the best deals on all the holiday markdowns and help support Rob Has a Podcast every time you shop when you use our link, robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. Or for our listeners in Canada, use robhasawebsite.com/AmazonCA.
The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor know-it-alls.
Yes, we are live after the Survivor San Juan del Sur finale. Can you believe it? December 17th, live, 11:20 p.m. Eastern time. And we are ready to talk about our new Survivor winner. Steven, can you believe it?
Natalie Anderson. I said it from the beginning. I said it all the way through.
The winner's in it.
I knew all the way that Natalie was going to win. And she did, just like I predicted throughout the entire season. Very happy with Natalie as a winner. She's great.
This was a phenomenal finale, I have to say. I was on my edge.
Oh my God, really? Oh, I can't wait to disagree with you.
Oh, I was on the edge of my seat the entire time. Wow. I thought Natalie.
A narrow seat.
I was standing. That's why. Yeah. I thought Natalie was done for at Final Four. And yeah. Then I would convince myself Jacqueline was going to win in the final tribal council. Wow. And I was thrilled with the outcome tonight.
I was thrilled with the outcome. I was not thrilled with how we got there. I really did think the Baylor blindside was a great one. I thought it was fun. I did not see it coming. I thought it was a great move. I thought it was a really well executed by Natalie. I hated final tribal council. I thought it was boring. I thought the questions were boring. I thought the answers were bad. You know, I thought the speeches were sort of mumbly. You know, there was that moment when Jeremy tried to give that David Murphy speech.
The half Murphy.
I mean, that was the half Murphy is a generous. That's a generous. I wrote down what he said. I mean, here's what he says. He says, oh, my God. I got it written down here, Rob. Clearly, Nat balled out. Like, you gotta just give it to her.
Just give
she
it to her.
Out, so give her credit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't be mad.
Yeah. And it's funny. It's ironic to hear him say, like, guys, come on. Just don't be mad. Don't be mad. Because he was mad the whole season.
He was.
He was just.
So that's why you can trust him. He knows for mad.
Because he's saying, like, why are these people so happy? Yeah. He was mad the whole season. So that was great. So congratulations to Natalie, great Survivor winner. We'll talk about her place in the pantheon as we go along here tonight. So much to get to. We'll reveal the RHAP fan favorite player of the season.
I have some thoughts about that. I think I know. I got some thoughts.
Okay, good. We'll talk about all of this stuff. We'll talk about reactions from the reunion show. Who came off good? Who came off bad? What did we think about the live format? Of course, we're live here on robhasawebsite.com.
Live format, yeah.
Yeah, we've over 1,000 people are already watching live.
That's
now.
Amazing. And more, so cool. Thank you, people.
Yeah, more and more. That number is going to go up. That number is going up as we go along here. We're taking your tweets. We've been doing it all night. Hashtag RHAP. Scott St. Pierre is pulling tweets. And of course, also on our YouTube channel at robhasawebsite.com/YouTube. Just to give you a sense of what's coming up tomorrow, I will have interviews with the entire Final Five, including the winner of Survivor San Juan del Sur, Natalie Anderson. Yes, Natalie. And then I will get to, we're going to do a wrap up of the season when I will be speaking with Josh Wigler live from the studios of Podcast One. I'm going to do a road trip outside of the office. We're going to be together live and we're going to go through your voicemail. So get those in for that show.
Is Wigler at the finale?
He's at the finale. Yes.
He's really getting to see firsthand just how boring a live finale is.
No, he's been to a couple of them before, but he does exit press for Parade Magazine. He'll have his interviews with the Final Five on his own on Parade Magazine. I will be speaking with Josh, so get your voicemails in. Go to robiswebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP.
I do want to say that it's really boring to be there in person. Like, and during the commercial breaks, you just have to sit there. Then they come back and you have to like applaud really vigorously and you have to like react really bigly to everything. And whenever, you know, Jeff might pull you from the audience and demand that you like race to the stage or something. It's not that cool.
The last one I was there in the building for was for the Philippines, but I declined a seat in the room. I was like sitting by the food where I could like text and stuff during the show.
Yeah, that's it. You like, you know, there's no food. You know, you're watching on your couch. You got your food. You got your phone. Everything is great. You get, you control the temper. Anyway, we don't need to talk about the live finale. Let's talk about Natalie Anderson. Great winner. Played a really, really good game throughout the season. And I think, in many ways, unlike any other winner's game, in ways that I think we should discuss.
Okay, explain.
Well, I don't really have a cogent theory yet, but I'm working on it. Where she sort of really picked her spots to nudge the game forward. You know, she wasn't one of these winners who sits back and kind of lets the game come to them. She also wasn't one of those winners who really goes out, makes alliances, you know, blindsides people left and right. She was always on the sidelines, nudging the game just enough to like make little things happen. Noticeable presence, right? When she volunteers to go to Exile Island to be with Baylor to send a signal to Missy, you know, she is noticeable there. She's not hanging back at all, but she's also not really driving the action forward. So she kind of had this like weird presence where you always sort of saw her along the way. You know, that Alec blindside is a perfect example where, you know, it seems like a sort of small move. It's not no move and it's not a big move. It's like a medium sized move. But it was crucial to her game. It was crucial to the sort of the array of moves that kind of came after that. Yeah, I feel like she was like the queen of the medium-sized move.
She made big moves down the stretch. I would say she had a quiet game in the first half. And, you know, you could say the same thing about Kim Spradlin, who had a quiet game in the first half. But she, from the time that she was victim to the Jeremy blindside, she did not see that coming. She was on the wrong side of the numbers there. And in a bad situation where we thought that was at final 10, I believe. Yeah. We thought that she could have been the next one voted out. And from that point on, she played brilliantly, almost a flawless game from final 10 on.
I think, though, even before then, in a way that was different than Kim's spread. You know, Kim was always roughly, you know, Kim always basically was controlling her tribe. Natalie never really was controlling
her
alliance.
I don't want to say, I'm not saying Natalie was better than Kim. I think that Kim was better because there was never a point where Kim was blindsided in anything. So the Jeremy thing never happens to Kim. So
I would agree that Kim is a better player. I just think Natalie's a different player. And you know, like that, like let's talk about that Drew vote right at the very beginning of the game. Natalie's real, you know, first step onto the stage as a real player is when all of the guys are like debating which girl they're going to vote out. And, you know, Natalie's like, screw this. I'm going to like tell the girls to vote one of the guys. And like she does and it happens. And it like it doesn't suddenly put Natalie in a power position, which is what might happen, you know, in any other situation. She just makes the move and then is able to kind of like fade back into the darkness. She's like, you know, some assassin of Survivor.
An assassin. Let me ask you this question, and this is going to be polarizing. Who's better, Natalie or Tony?
I mean, yeah. I got to say Tony. I think Tony is magic. So I think, you know, I would say Tony.
Yeah, I think the answer is probably Tony, but Tony makes a lot of mistakes that Natalie doesn't make.
Natalie had a very tight game where she didn't really make any mistakes. I mean, you know, she was really surprised, to your point, at the Jeremy blindside. She really was, you know, surprised in a way that I don't think Tony was ever surprised in his game.
But she made ballsy, big moves that I would probably say, I mean, short of Parvati, I can't think of another female player that made as many bold, big moves in the game.
really game like moves. I mean, what were her big moves? I mean, I wouldn't say that Alec move is a big move.
The Alec move was like she was looking at the chessboard and she was like, okay, this is two moves ahead. I need to make this move. And everybody else is like, well, why are you putting your pawn there? I don't understand. But she saw it. She had a vision for what she wanted to do. So that was that final seven. Then of course she has the big move, which comes one, she ends up saving John back at, what is that, final...
But that's not a big move. I think that's a medium-sized move.
Okay, that's medium. But you can't take anything away from what she does at final six, where she makes the move to blindside John. And then this move that she does at final five, I think, is one of the biggest moves in the history of the show. And I'm not sure she needed to do it either.
We need to talk about that move because it was really interesting. And, you know, there's two things that happened, right? The two things that she accomplished with that move. One is, you know, obviously she's posturing for the jury. You know, playing your idol for yourself is great, but she's showing the jury firsthand, look, I am playing this game. She's making her case in that moment of why she deserves to win. And she's also taking her own fate in her hands, where, you know, she is in this alliance with her Missy Baylor. She's been in it since the beginning, basically, certainly since the swap. She is sort of going against that. What she's doing though is like taking the power out of Missy and Baylor's hands, because, you know, with those two, if she's the third, it's completely contingent on them if she's going to make it to the end. But without Baylor there, suddenly Natalie is the hinge. Natalie is the one who's tightest with Keith. She's tightest with Jacqueline, and she's tightest with Missy.
Yeah. And I also thought the other brilliant part of that move is it was all contingent on that everybody assumed Keith was going to win that immunity at final four. Right. So if Keith wins the immunity at final four and she doesn't make that move, they vote out Jacqueline, Missy and Baylor aren't turning on each other. Keith has immunity. Natalie's out at final four. So she makes this move to protect herself, to give her the chance to win at final four. Now it almost backfires because then Jacqueline, of all people, wins the final immunity. And had Jacqueline been smart enough to know that Natalie was the threat. Now Jacqueline's going to lose the game to Keith, it turns out, Natalie.
So they were both. I mean, Jacqueline's thinking was right. You know, she was right that Keith was a huge threat. She, you know, and just didn't realize how big a threat Natalie was.
Yeah, I guess so.
It wasn't like Jacqueline made the wrong decision there, right? She didn't make it like a woo choice from winning the game to losing the game. She made a choice that like made her lose the game
to a different person.
Yeah.
But anyway, it worked out perfectly for Natalie. So those two moves back to back were so big and much bigger than moves that we've seen many of the Survivor winners make.
Yeah, there's no question. There is no question that like you see a lot of winners who aren't doing things that like truly like voting out core members of their alliance, flipping back and forth. Maybe you're right. Maybe Tony has just, you know, just like set the bar too high for big moves. But I would say along the way she had some medium moves, and that definitely that Baylor blindside was her big signature move that really stood out and you know, probably cemented her place as the winner. Not that I doubt that the other two were going to win it anyway.
It was, I wonder, and I don't know if we've ever seen a move like this done before on Survivor, that it just seemed like, was it just showmanship for the jury at that point? Could she have done that in a different way where hypothetically, if they just have Keith vote for Missy, and not play the idol, was that just showmanship of like, it was a real, I'm going to coin a phrase, a ta-da move in front of the jury. What do you think of that?
I totally think so. I think that, you know, and even the way she sort of owned that moment when obviously, you know, she was blacked out. It was kind of like Will Ferrell in Old School when he wins the debate competition while blacked out. You know, she goes up and is like, I was going to play this for myself, but I think I'm going to play for someone else. You know, turn to audience. Did you, Jacqueline, did you vote for who I told you to vote for? Talk about like establishing.
Hey, Jacqueline, is this your card?
Yeah. But also like being like, oh, I told Jacqueline who to vote for. This is my plan.
So good. So good. Yeah. It was delicious.
She really was making it clear that she was the one who was driving strategy. She was directly telling Jacqueline who to vote for, you know, like this is my move. It was really, a great theater as well as a great movie.
It was great theater and really great job by Natalie. Then I thought at the final four, I thought she almost blew it. I thought she came so close. I thought she started talking about the, similar to like what we saw with John, I thought she started talking about the speech too early. Jeff is like, Natalie, can you win this game? She's like, yeah, I think I've got a good shot to win game. It's like, shut up. Yeah.
I remember being asked that basically that question at the final three for me. And it was like, do you think, you know, you have to argue about why you're going to lose. And it's so uncomfortable because you don't want to like argue in front of the jury about why you'll lose. You don't want to put thoughts in the jury's head about like why they shouldn't vote for you. But you also don't want to put like thoughts in, you know, your fellow people's heads about why they got to get rid of you. So it is really a challenging position to be in when you're thinking about it. And I think actually she handled it pretty gracefully, which is like, yeah, I could win. I could win. You know, it wasn't like, here's why I'll win. But she also didn't undersell her game in a way that really, you know, in a way that might have felt false and might have been nerve wracking.
Yeah, I think the right answer is, you know, Jeff, I'd love to have the shot. I'd love to be in there. And then, you know, then it's on Jeff if he's going to really fight you. But what if you did? What if you did? Would you win? And then you just remember.
Shut your mouth, homie G.
Yeah, don't say too much in that spot. All right, Steven, let's talk about, before we dive in further into this, the Rob is a Podcast Fan Favorite Player of the Season. Over 3,000 votes were cast for Fan Favorite Player of the Season. Wow. Of course, the coveted prize this season is the Rob is a Podcast Fan Favorite Player of the Season throw pillow.
That's amazing. I want a freaking Arhab throw pillow.
No, well, you got to go back on the show.
I haven't really wanted to go back on Survivor until there was a possibility of winning a throw pillow.
All right, so I've got the top five, baby.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Number five with 7% of the vote.
All right. Give me a second. I think number five is going to be, it's between like Josh and Jacqueline for me. I'm going to say Jacqueline.
You will say Jacqueline and you are. Sorry. Number five, top five, baby, with 7% of the vote. It is Keith.
Keith.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Oh, wow. All right.
All right. You want to do number four while we're here?
All right, number four.
With 8% of the vote.
Is Jeremy.
It's Reed. It's Reed.
Come on.
Oh, Reed, God. Congratulations. You are the fourth place fan favorite player of the season for Robin's podcast. Let's talk about Reed's speech in the final tribal council.
I loved it. I thought it was a real boring tribal council. I thought his speech had life. It was not like... They treated it like it was some insanely bitter. We've never heard something like this. Jeff was like, "This, you know, when have we heard Jeff like console the contestants at Final Tribal? Like, guys, you know, this is what it's like. You're in the finals. People are angry. You know, it's going to be okay, guys. Like, that has never
happened. That was the worst we've heard in a while, though.
Was it? I feel like we've definitely heard. I mean,
tell me in the chat room, what was the last speech that was that brutal?
Certainly Shambo was very upset. That was a while ago.
Yeah.
I feel like they're all the you know, Philip really received some invective. That was, I guess, a while ago as well. Coach got hated on, right? You know, people really.
But there's not many people that do like the monologue. That it's been a long time since we've seen one person. You know, you get a lot of like, you know, Sherry. What did you even do?
What about Brenda? Come on, Brenda made Dawn take out her teeth.
Yeah, okay, that is probably toughest since Brenda.
That was like a year ago.
That was 2 years
ago.
Three seasons ago.
Yeah, I mean, that it didn't to me. It wasn't like Dawn, take out your teeth bad, you know?
No, and it wasn't quite that tough. Yeah. I think that and Reed and Josh got a lot of screen time at the reunion show. Obviously, yeah. Jeff liked them. I thought Reed handled it poorly in the reunion show. I think when Jeff gives you the opportunity to apologize to Missy, I think even if you don't mean it, I think you have to take that. I
disagree. I actually don't like it when the people are like, oh, of course, we're all friends now. I'm sorry. You're sorry. I thought the way he defended it was like, this is about the game. And that's what I said about the game. And I meant it in the context of the game. Like, it's a freaking game. It's a freaking TV show.
I hear you. Yeah. But this is the kind of thing that, you know, Survivor Sucks is going to be talking about this for the next 15 years and call in Reed. Oh, he was bitter at the reunion show. He wouldn't apologize to Missy. I think you got to just like in just then. Now it's a thing. Now it's a thing that Reed didn't apologize to Missy. You got to address crisis management. You got to address, you know what, Missy, you know, it was fun being out there with you.
Why can't it be a positive thing? Come on, like people everywhere, Survivor sucks and elsewhere. Let this be a positive thing about how bold Reed was and how he stood up for his, you know, for his comments, for himself.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to see it the same way, Stephen.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think so. Okay.
Well, I have more faith in them than you do, I guess.
So the when we got to the final four, I was convinced Natalie was done for, because the last piece of the conversation we saw was between Jacqueline and Missy. And they're talking about, like, what do you think about voting out Natalie? And from the moment they said that, the edit felt like to me, Natalie was gone. Did you not fall for that at all?
I am very nervous about talking about edit at all this season, because I have been pretty repeatedly wrong. But for the last two episodes, I have been very, like, there was no one else. They were, you know, Natalie got a lot of strategic confessionals over the past couple of episodes and never looked bad in any of them. She did not look bad at all. And I felt pretty confident that Natalie was going to win. But again, please feel free to ridicule me for my confidence. It has been misplaced before. I'm like Missy, you know. I keep on. I'm willing to have try again.
You fall down, yeah, and then you get back up and get on that horse. But did you think that Natalie was going out at the final four?
No, I thought she was going to win. I thought she was going all the way. I was not faked out by that.
I was very faked out. And I'm like, oh my God, Keith is going to win the show.
Yeah, which would have been a fun end to this insane season, but basically impossible.
You really got the sense that Jeff, while he liked Keith, really, like, constantly brought up in this show tonight that Keith does not know how to play the game.
Yeah, yeah. It is a little bit like, has he ever done that before with a contestant? Just, like, repeated? I did think it was interesting. I actually really like this, because we haven't heard Jeff say this. Like, kind of address head on how hard it is to play a game when there's just terrible people out there playing it. Like, it is really hard to play. Like, one of the hardest things, if not the hardest thing about Survivor, is playing a strategic game against people who are largely irrational and don't necessarily know what they're doing.
But was that Jeff's point, or that was Jeremy and John Rocker's point?
Jeff asked the question, you know, and then he asked that question to Jeremy, like, isn't it hard to play against someone like Keith? And then Jeremy and John Rocker both sort of made that point.
I really got the sense tonight Jeff was interested in doing the old turning the page on Survivor 29. I mean, that there was no need to spend the entire, like, we're going to watch Survivor 30. You could at least talk to the people that are on the stage rather than spend the entire last segment talking about Survivor 30.
Yeah, he really... really was into the Survivor 30 thing. Yeah. And actually, it looks awesome.
All right, well, let's talk about Survivor 30 at the end. Let's not make the same mistake and not discuss Survivor 29 before. So we'll talk about that last, but that is on my rundown. What about as far as the season as a whole, Stephen? I know a lot of people were hard on the season, but I feel like overall, when we sort of like crunch the numbers, I think that this was a pretty good season with a fantastic winner.
I think it was a really good winner. I mean, the problem was we didn't really have anyone to root for a lot of the season. You know, Natalie was there, but she never felt like a rooting candidate in a way that, you know, because so much of the airtime went to, like, John and Jacqueline, and so much of the airtime, you know, went to Josh. You know, it just felt like once, you know, it felt like a lot of the people were not great players. You and I certainly talked about that a lot. Like, what are these people thinking? Is this some of the worst play we've ever seen? And you know, there's typically very bad play. So for us to be making that comment, you know, I think it really does speak to how sort of like clueless a lot of the people were on this season. You know, Natalie kind of emerged like really towards the end as someone you could root for and hope for. But at least for me, there were definitely big moves. There was definitely some excitement. I never felt as invested in it as it did other seasons. You know, it's like one of those Nicaragua seasons where, like, on paper, it's a pretty good season, actually. You know, there's a lot of strategic players. They're doing a lot of moves. It's interesting. But for whatever reason, there's just kind of a nasty feel to it, or like a not fun feel. And I never could really get past that with this season.
I think that in some ways I agree with that, but I feel like for me this season was kind of like Karamoan light, where the pre-merge was not good and not fun, and then we sort of had a very exciting second half to the game.
Right. I mean, I certainly see what you're saying. There was a lot of big, I mean, definitely the last few episodes of the, you know, it really did pick up, you know, with all the flips and the flops towards the end. The problem was that at the heart of that was this sort of like John and Jacqueline dynamic where, yes, I thought John might win because of all the airtime he was getting, but I never liked him, that, you know, and it really felt like they kind of were sort of not necessarily playing a really strong game. You know, they were, John was decent, to be honest, but yeah, I don't know.
Let's talk about the final tribal council. Did you think that the outcome at any point was in doubt, or you felt like Natalie had it in the bag the whole way?
It really did seem like Natalie had it in the bag. I mean, none of the, you know, the only person who really got heat was Missy. You know, the rest of the questions were basically softballs, right? Keith was like, how do you feel that your last words to me were a lie, which, to Natalie, which is not exactly a real excoriating remark. I mean, she was like, sorry, it's a game. Yeah, I mean, it didn't seem right. Like, I didn't feel like any, and you know, every time I make any remark about someone's final tribal council speech, I give a like, way to go, Fishbag, you got zero votes. Yeah, I get it. You know, I'm a viewer.
Hey, better
too,
than
right?
Zero,
you
know, earbuds.
Yeah, what?
Better than zero earbuds.
That's true. Yeah, very true.
Yeah.
What do you think of? What did you think of the speeches? Like Natalie's speech, I thought was kind of like just okay.
I was very concerned about Natalie here, and I really was very concerned about Jacqueline getting the winner vibe heading into Tribal Council. Jacqueline is the last person we heard from before headed to Tribal Council. We got a lot of Jacqueline talking about her adversity, and I felt like, oh boy, here we go. This is going to be the Jacqueline. You know, she's been through Miss Michigan. She knows exactly what buttons to push. That this game has been like adversity to me. I thought she made some interesting and pretty good arguments about how, what were her biggest moves in the game. I really thought that there was a chance that Reed and Josh were going to be negative towards Natalie. And I felt like because they had a good relationship with John and Jacqueline in the game, I felt like they were sort of kingmaker in this final tribal council. Whereas if they would have sided with the John and Jacqueline thing, and especially if John went back to Ponderosa and smoothed things over with them, I thought that John could have potentially recruited Reed and Josh and potentially Wes. And I felt like that they had a group where they could potentially get the four or five of the votes, where maybe Jeremy is the only person that votes for Natalie and Baylor is the only person that votes for Missy.
There was a moment I would say where, you know, and certainly when I saw Reed's vote, I thought, you know, maybe she wins. Like I felt like there was a solid 10% chance that Jacqueline could win at that point. But I was pretty sure Natalie had it in the bag.
What did you make of Reed's vote for Jacqueline?
Maybe he just was really swayed by her speech.
No. Here's what I think, Stephen, and I've seen this on Twitter. Do you think that Reed voted for Jacqueline? Did Reed pull a Vetus?
He might have pulled a Vetus. He definitely, I mean, I think that's a possibility.
Did Reed want to make sure Missy didn't get tied for second place money, that Missy got the third place money and Jacqueline got the second place?
It could have been an anti-Missy vote, but in that case, then he would have had to know that Natalie was winning, right? Which would mean that people decide their votes ahead of tribal council and that final tribal council isn't the vote deciding place we all know it is. So I can't accept that as a possibility.
I think that I think that they kind of knew the vote count going in there. I think you're being facetious.
I'm being sarcastic.
Okay. So here's where the difference between Jacqueline and Natalie, I felt like between the two of them, where both of them had a moment where they had a chance to impress or unimpress one of the jurors. And Natalie's moment, I thought, came with Alex's question, which was, what was the biggest move that you made in the game? And she did the kind of thing like where Cochran and Malcolm, and we've seen it with Todd and John Robert, where he says, actually, the biggest move I made in the game was getting out you, because I knew that you were being looked over. And Alex was like, all right, and then he just had his mouth open for like 35 seconds.
Yeah, he did. You know, he liked it. And that's sort of when you knew that Natalie was like going to win. He's like, I knew you were going to say that. We're such great friends. I actually also had that moment when Tyson asked me that question, and I lost Tyson's vote in answering that same answer. So I don't think it's necessarily a great move. Like the one vote that I could have had, I lost. I think that like it really depends on who's asking the question, what your relationship with them is. I don't think it's necessarily like such a power move to say, you know, you really have to read the jury right.
Yeah, but
I obviously did.
When you say read the jury, you mean you call them like your wicked stepmother?
Exactly. You have to just make sure you know what role they have in the fairy tale.
No, but then look on the other hand, look at how Jacqueline handled it when that same thing came up with Josh. Right. And she basically gave Josh the same answer that Natalie did, but she did it in a way where Josh was turned off by the way that Jacqueline handled that.
But do you think it's in a way, or do you think like what is the way that she did it? Or do you think he was just never going to vote for her in the first place and it was a question that
it's
he
the
asked?
Way about it. She shot him down. She said it like it was like a burn to him. Yeah. The move I made was voting out you as opposed to, you know what,
actually,
Josh, Josh, you know what I have to say? Probably the biggest move that I made in the game was the decision to vote you out, because I knew if you stayed in the game, there was no way I was getting past you. Like she kind of threw it in his face. Yeah. I got you out. So how's that for my big move?
But the thing is, to be fair to Jacqueline, she had already answered that question when John asked her the same question. What was your biggest move?
Okay. That's fine. Does it kill her to suck kneecaps and tell, try to answer Josh's question in the best way possible? I mean, that I thought that Natalie, while she did not light the world on fire, she did a fantastic job. Steven, I want to talk about Natalie a little bit more, but let's get back into the fan favorite vote. Number three. Number three, Steven, 9% of the vote.
It's between two for me.
Who do you got?
To me, it's between Josh and the person I'm going to suggest that it is, John Mish.
Okay, go with your gut, Steven. Who is it?
John Mish.
Oh! It's not John Mish. Josh with 9% of the vote.
Oh, I was close.
We've got Keith, we've got Reed, we've got Josh with
I'm feeling good about the next two, though. I'm 100% on the next two.
Okay. We'll come back to it. We'll come back to it.
I'm positive.
All right. Natalie,
once again, breaking my heart.
Natalie is the winner of this season.
Yeah.
Her identical twin sister is the first person kicked off of this season. What does that say to you about the game of Survivor?
A lot of luck involved.
Is it 100% circumstance? I mean, you have two people who are almost literally the same person. Is this a night where all the first people off are like, I was this close to winning. I was on the wrong tribe away from winning the game.
That's not false that, you know, if there are people who are off in the first off or, you know, the third off, Rob, who,
or even the fourth.
Yeah. One thing goes one way. That's for fourth. One thing, you know, you goes one way or another, you know, you're out early or you make it all the way. You know, there's so much circumstance. Everyone has one moment where it goes wrong for them. And if it didn't go wrong, you know, everything would be flipped. And it really is fascinating. You're right to have two identical twins, one who's out first, one who goes all the way. You know, Nadia's on one tribe. They have one impression of the 20s, right? Like part of that was a problem was that Nadia was on a tribe where they're like, we got to get the 20s out. Natalie was on a different tribe. They didn't have that problem. Part of why they didn't have that problem is that Nadia's already gone from the game. So much circumstance goes into it. You know, you really gotta, it's a crazy game.
If you switched it around, Natalie is on Coyopa and Nadia is on Hunapu. Is Natalie A, the first person voted off, and B, is Nadia the winner of the season?
I mean, we obviously can't say that, you know, and like presumably they're different people.
We can, and we are know-it-alls.
You know, Natalie didn't seem as aggressive as Nadia did, but like maybe that's because of the way she came off in the edit. Maybe that's because of the way she had to play because Nadia went out so early. You know, we knew that Dale, at an early target at Coyopa, was real. You know, his whole strategy was like target the 20s. So it really could have been the case that had it been Natalie, not Nadia, she would have been out first.
Is Nadia the 20 that sucks?
No. We know that being the one that sucks is really an honorific that is special and meaningful. Do you think, and I know you talked about this a little bit with Spencer after, you know, a really interesting question from a viewer, but do you think that this is going to jeopardize the relationship between Natalie and Nadia. Because I was talking about it with my viewing partner, and I was suggesting that it is, that it really, you know, how do you get over this? You've been together forever, and now you're separated in this crazy way.
Yeah, but I think between those two, I mean, those two are, you know, basically together 24 hours a day for what I have no idea how old they are, 27, 28 years. Right. And then they're apart for 39 days. I don't think it changes one thing.
And one of them becomes a celebrity and has a defining life moment. And the other one is a footnote in that story.
Yeah, but Stephen, in 2014, winning Survivor does not bring you the celebrity status that it once did.
I think it's nice.
It's a nice thing, but it's not like, okay, well, now Natalie's going on tour and Nadia is going to be home alone now, the spinster, for the rest of her days. You know,
I just think it screws up the power dynamic in a way that's not long.
Oh, sure. I mean, Natalie, you know, Nadia has to, you know, defer to Natalie any sort of these.
And everyone's going to like want to talk to Natalie and be like, oh, Natalie. And then they'll be like, oh, Nadia, what's it like being Natalie's twin? You know, like that sucks.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Yeah. It's interesting.
Life is hard is the lesson here.
It's interesting. Stephen, what do you think about the seating on the reunion show? On the original Blood versus Water, they sat the couples together.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a good format because they got to talk to everybody on the original Survivor Blood versus Water. This season, they did it by, by placement, and they really didn't make an effort to bounce around and talk to everybody.
No, they were much more concerned with random people from the audience. I liked the way the original was done. I thought it was tasteful. I thought it really emphasized that. I mean, you would think that given the way that the season operates, that they would take every single freaking advantage to once again emphasize that it's a show about relationships and family dynamics. But, I liked it. I did like it.
The first time around.
Yeah. And this time, I mean, I didn't care. I didn't dislike it. I thought it was like nice the first time. I didn't really have a preference. You know, I didn't feel strongly this time.
Yeah, I thought I liked how they did it the first time around. I felt like this was sort of lacking, and I felt like we didn't really get a chance to talk to a lot of the people. And we talked to a lot of people from the stands. I tweeted tonight, who do you think is going to get more airtime, Olivia Feldman or 6.5 of the survivors? That was the over under of people that weren't going to get talked to.
It had to be over.
I think it was eight. I think eight people he didn't talk to.
So Kelly didn't get talked to. Dale didn't get talked to.
I don't know if we're counting Nadia.
Did Nadia get talked to?
I'm not sure. We saw her. I don't know if we heard her. Val definitely did not.
How do you not talk to Nadia about that? How do you not ask Nadia that question? That's weird.
We didn't talk to Nadia. We didn't talk to Julie.
Yeah. Didn't talk to Julie.
Yeah, I think that Scott St. Pierre is sending me both of the Wentworths, Dale and Kelly. Nadia, Julie, Val.
Drew Christie? I don't think we got Drew Christie.
I don't think we talked to either of the Christie brothers.
Either the Christie brothers. That's all right. That's one I'm okay with.
Yeah, or Wes, I think. I think that's the eight.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
So, is it just me or do you think that did Wes look like he put on more weight?
At Ponderosa.
Yeah. Well, I watched his Ponderosa video and he put on like 10 pounds in one day. He looked like he weighed more than he did when the season started.
He really, you know, I mean, that really could have been predicted based on in show commentary.
All right, Steven, let's get to the fan favorite.
Number two.
Let's do that. Then we'll get to taking your questions here on finale night.
I want to get at least one guess in here because I've been wrong. The 3 through 5 is harder. These two, I'm positive.
Okay, Steven is positive of the number one and two. Yeah. All right, Steven, if you get these right.
Yeah.
If you're right on number one and two, should I hand over the title of knowingest know-it-all?
No, I'm not ready. It can't be this easy. It can't be this easy.
Steven's the best. Know-it-all.
Okay. It's hanging in the balance. It's right here, Steven, if you want it.
I know this isn't a real wager between us, though. Like, I can't take it. I can't take it like this.
Okay. All right. Give me your confident number one and number two.
Number two is Jeremy. Number one is Natalie.
Okay. That's your final answer?
Yeah.
Steven, you should have taken the bet because you are correct.
I knew it, though. I couldn't take it. You know, I couldn't take it like that.
I thought you didn't have it because you kept throwing John and Jacqueline in the mix, who did not place in the top five, baby. How do you like that for an upset? No mish.
You know, the 3 through 5 is harder because you're trying to, when you see where the votes are going, you know, then you're like, oh, from Keith to Reed to Josh, like this is the escalation that's happening. We knew Natalie was going to be top. Jeremy had to be the number two. So I didn't want to win this prestigious trophy with when you not even having something on the line. You know?
Fair enough. Here's the vote breakdown. So Keith was number 5 at 7%. Reed was number 4 at 8%. Josh was number 3 at 9%.
Wow.
So Josh has bragging rights over Reed. Jeremy was number 2 with 10%. And in the biggest runaway blowout that we've ever had in the Rob is a Podcast fan favorite, Natalie had 49% of the vote.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
A runaway for Natalie.
Yeah.
So very, very good stuff. All right. So get your questions in. We're going to get to your questions. But Steven, one last time before the end of the season, I know how badly you want to talk about our sponsor for this episode of Rob's Podcast, Hulu Plus.
Oh, I love Hulu Plus. This is awesome. I was literally like, I was just looking at another show on Hulu Plus, and I'm totally blanking on what it was. They've got such great programming on there.
Well, there's a lot of
Twin
good
Peaks
stuff.
Is on Hulu. Twin Peaks is on Hulu.
Yeah. Well, share the joy this holiday season by watching multiple seasons of your favorite shows on Hulu. Whether you are home on winter break, traveling, or staying with family this season, you can watch your favorite shows on Hulu Plus. Right now, Hulu Plus has the current season episodes of your favorite shows like How to Get Away with Murder, Once Upon a Time, South Park, and Hulu Plus has past season episodes of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, Archer, I know, which is one of your favorites.
I do love Archer.
American.
If you haven't watched Archer too, like watch Archer. You're missing out.
American Horror Story, Sons of Anarchy, which just ended this week, and Josh Wigler and I podcast about it all the way through the final season.
Oh, wow. I get it.
Californication, Love and Hip Hop, Real Housewives of Atlanta, Key and Peele. Are you a Key and Peele guy?
Oh my God, I love it. The Usual Suspects one is like one of the funniest sketches of all time. Of any show ever.
And Parks and Recreation, get caught up for the final season because you can watch full seasons of these great shows this holiday season.
Now, Twin Peaks.
And Twin Peaks. You've probably watched Hulu on your computer, but Hulu with a Plus subscription is much more. It's the difference between having a regular 20 and a 20 Plus, Stephen.
That's it. Now Natalie's the 20 Plus. Wouldn't you rather have Natalie than Nadia? That's what I'm saying. That's the whole problem.
Yeah, because you can watch every episode of shows like the South Park, Sons of Anarchy, Blackish, American Horror Story.
I love first season of American Horror Story. Is amazing.
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, Californication, Keeping Up with the Kardashians, Real Housewives, because Hulu Plus works on your smart TV, Roku, Apple TV, Xbox, Wii, PlayStation, which Natalie can afford, all of those things, pretty much any streaming device that you own, because with Hulu Plus, you're in total control to stream as much as you want whenever you want. Binge watch all the shows you're behind or discover a new one for only $7.99 a month. Watch your favorite fall shows anytime, anywhere. Plus, you'll get the hookup for our listeners. Get a 2-week free trial when you go to huluplus.com/Rob. 2 weeks are better than one, just like two twins are better than one.
Well, I mean, not in this case necessarily, but you know. I've talked about it before, but the recommendation engine on Hulu Plus is really, really good. Like I've legitimately like been recommended shows that I was like, oh, this is wow. You do know me.
Hard. Isn't it great when somebody actually gets you?
It's like they get me better than John gets Jack.
Make sure you go to huluplus.com/Rob. You get an extra free week and it'll help support the podcast and you'll get a great deal. Go to huluplus.com/Rob to get your extended free trial. That's huluplus.com/Rob for the 2-week free trial of the Hulu Plus. All right, Steven, let's get into the questions here. Everybody had lots of questions.
Do we want to talk about season 30 at all?
Oh, okay. You want to talk about season 30? Sure.
I don't know. Just wanted to say, open the possibility.
Yeah, season 30, blue collar, white collar versus no collar. Jeff,
that no collar girl was so cute.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Did they plant blue collar, white collar, and no collar people in the audience?
I mean, you got to assume that, like, the no collar thing was weird. Like, who's going to identify as no collar? Like, no collar person would be like, I'm no collar, except that girl who was perfect in every way and who I'm in love with. She obviously did.
Yeah, it's odd because you don't think there'd be that many no collar people at the Survivor finale.
Survivor finale. That feels like maybe it was. And like, who's the guy? You're right. Like, who's like, I'm white collar, like runs up. I'm a lawyer. What a weird moment that was.
Maybe it was Jeff's lawyer.
Yeah, it could be. That could be.
Steven, am I no collar?
Yeah, I guess you are. You're a free spirit. You're really, it's so beautiful.
I sit in a room and podcast all day. I don't answer to the man.
Yeah, that is true. I think you might be no collar. That's Woo-hoo! Crazy.
Yeah.
On All-Star blue collar, white collar, no collar, it's going to be you and Flick a Flame.
Oh, that podcast is coming with Gordon Holmes in January when we cast the All-Star versions of blue collar, white collar, and no collar.
Oh, that's awesome. That's great.
Yes.
That's
great. And what tribes should we be sure to not include Eliza on? And then just to get the social media bump. Oh, it's Sierra on the white collar tribe. That'll be fun. All right, so that's coming in January. So a lot to do. Yeah, you really get the impression Jeff is very pumped up about the season 30. Again, I'm pumped up anytime we're going to do three tribes. I think that
probably seemed great too. I really liked it.
Yeah, it seemed great. Take it for what it will. You know, every survivor you talk to is like, did you hear season 30 is supposed to be really good? Now I don't know if it's a game of telephone where one person told one person.
Yeah.
What do you think? You think a telephone game? Or are you buying it?
Like, I mean, you know, we hear it every so often about seasons that are supposed to be really good. Sometimes they are, you know, we heard that about Heroes versus Villains for sure. We heard it about, you heard it about, Philippines. I heard it about, the Tony one. Sometimes they're not like that was the buzz around Token Sheens, you know?
Yeah.
Really good season.
You know what? These talking points though, I think sometimes that they do move the needle because I feel like before this season I heard like, oh, everybody's saying Survivor 29. I feel like, it's not going to be good. It's not going to be a good season. I hear they're not happy with the season. And this season is like, oh, everybody's liking this the new season. Everything's the new season. It's great.
You're right. You're excited. You're like out of the gate. You're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I'm super psyched. And I feel like the blue collar, white collar idea, back in the day when every, I don't know, maybe they still do it when past survivors were all like, I guess there's going to be a brains versus brawn season. And then they did it. And then they added beauty. I always heard about the blue collar, white collar thing. I'm sure Russell made an alliance with you. I like that they did it. And I like the addition of no collar a lot. I think that's like a really good sort of like rant, like,
yeah,
out of left field choice.
You know, Steven, it's I had wondered before if blue collar, white collar and no collar people could ever live together in one place before.
Yeah.
And then I saw Utopia and I realized that they cannot. That this experiment, I've watched it play out before. It does not go well.
Yeah. I didn't get very deep into Utopia.
You missed it. You got to go back HuluPlus.com/Rob and see if they get,
there's better things on Hulu Plus than Utopia.
Put that in your recommendation engine. All right. So, let's get to the questions here tonight. Jacob Shepherd kicks us off on Survivor finale night. Who had the best jury moment in terms of influence on decision/entertainment value, Jeremy or Reed? Well, you poo pooed both of those in this show, Steve.
I liked Reed's. I thought Reed, in terms of entertainment value, I thought Reed's was really, really good. I didn't think Jeremy had the moment that he was like clearly hoping to have. And I love Jeremy too as a player, but just not as a juror.
Okay. So you preferred the Reed speech.
What about you?
I don't think that anybody's speech changed anybody's mind.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's mind was changed. Petit Shoe Pumpkin wants to know, I feel like John should have lied in his final tribal speech to the rest of the huge jury saying Jacqueline made most of the decisions. In a blood versus water season, the jury needs to remember the game isn't over since their loved one can win. Thoughts? This is an interesting idea. What do you think about that?
Yeah, well, I thought that John and Baylor were the two people that were in the interesting position of being the jury member to go up there and have to talk about. And you could do it one of two ways. Missy, what did you actually do this season? Right. Or,
and
you know,
John did, right?
No, well, no, he was very much of like, Jacqueline, why don't you tell everybody all of the things you did this season? Right. Like, I, in some ways, I thought it was even a little patronizing.
Because it was like, Well, he might, but presumably John goes in knowing what people are saying at Ponderosa, right? Like, this isn't John stepping in from, like, not having been living with these people, you know? He's been part of this conversation. He knows what needs to be addressed. And so probably he's thinking, like, everyone thinks Jacqueline didn't make any of the moves. Hey, Jacqueline, why don't you say why you made a move? I think it would be a little bit false if John were to go in and be like, Jacqueline, you made all the moves. And I was just along for the ride. Like, everyone would be like, all right, guy.
Yeah. Well, I think everybody kind of was that anyway.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody changed it. And then Baylor, she did the really pull on the heartstrings of, you know, this is like a metaphor for life.
One foot through life
going from.
Would you say we're on one foot through this podcast?
many times. And then did you notice that then at the end of Baylor's speech, Missy gave us one last
love you, Bay.
Yeah, I did notice that.
Love you, Bay. Yeah, bringing all the slang into the Final Tribal Council. First time ever that Bay has been said at the Final Tribal Council, Stephen.
I wasn't moved by Baylor's speech. You know, I actually like the fact that there were these like sweeping orchestrations underneath it made me like it less.
You were not moved. Are you surprised we didn't get an update on Missy's leg in the reunion show?
An update. I'm sorry, you blacked out there for a second.
Natalie at the final five Tribal Council. Yeah. Are you surprised we didn't get an update on Missy's leg?
Yeah, I did think that was weird since there's a lot of time spent on it in the episode itself. We would have like 45 second decisions of like, Missy, do you think you can compete in this challenge? I did think it was weird that they didn't say like, oh, how's your leg?
Could I ask you real quick about the advantage at Final Five immunity? I feel like
that advantage. That was a great one, right?
I don't know. I feel like that was so odd. Why have an advantage at the Final Five immunity? I mean, why not do it at the Final Four? I mean, why do an advantage at a random tribal council?
I liked it so much more. I thought that like, I hate the advantage at the Final Four because like, the Final Four immunity is really the crucial immunity challenge of the whole game. This is where you need to either earn your place by strategy or, you know, socializing or by strength into that finals. I hate it when there's an advantage there and someone kind of has a cheat as a way of like kind of circumventing that. I thought the Final Five was the perfect place to have the advantage where it's still incredibly significant. It's a real hinge vote. It's a hugely important moment. But it's not like the last one.
Yeah. I know some people were upset about Keith getting the advantage in the immunity challenge. Did that bum you out or you liked it?
Oh, I liked it. I thought it was fun to have it to be Keith. You know, I really liked the advantage itself too. You know, a lot of the time it's an advantage that's just, it's too much. You know, when they give the advantage in the challenge, it's often like unbeatable. Whereas in this case, you know, it was like, you can practice. If you walk away from this table, you're done. You know, you could see someone else, someone who's a little bit lazier, but like trying it out a few times and being like, all right, I'm good. Keith really put in the work. I feel like Keith used the advantage as well as he could. He earned that win.
Yeah. I feel like he earned the win the first time around. So I wasn't too bummed out that he ended up winning that challenge as well.
Yeah.
I would, you know, I feel like that this was probably just, you know, I don't know where they made the time up. I guess they didn't do Fallen Comrades, but I guess they haven't done that in the last couple seasons anyway. So I don't know where they got the time from.
Where they got the time to do the what?
You had a final five, you had two tribal councils to add in the extra challenge.
Well, the final tribal was really short.
Yeah, I guess so. All right, let's go to another question. How about from Jordan R18? How long would the Final Five immunity challenge have lasted if Keith didn't practice?
Oh my God, that would have lasted forever, right? Like, maybe that's why they did it too. Like that, what a beast of a challenge. You know, kudos to whatever cruel human designed that.
Rube Goldberg, yeah.
Yeah, it was really, I mean, that looked really, really hard. And especially not having, you know, not being malnourished and everything. It would have lasted a long time.
All right, next question, Steven.
Survivor Fan 7 wants to know, how much is this season elevated in your season rankings based on tonight's finale? Would love to hear your thoughts. Very good question, Survivor Fan 7.
Well, I don't do Survivor season rankings. I never have yet, but I would say
you never have yet.
Well, Steven, at some point you podcast long enough, you're going to do everything. And yeah. So I would say that probably like Dalton Ross in his season rankings, he had it at like 25. I think he probably goes up a few notches based on the strength of the winner of the season and the finale, even though you didn't love it as much as I did.
Yeah, I know. I do agree with you. I think a strong winner really like redeems the season in a lot of ways. I mean, you know, Karen Moen is the same way with Cochran, great winner, you know, makes that whole season a lot better. And if you can say anything good about Redemption Island, it's that Boston Rob won. So, yeah, I agree with you. It probably knocks it up a couple notches.
I think it's probably, if you were going to rank them, I think it's probably around like 20.
Yeah, like in the 17 to 20 range.
There you go. All right, let's go to Sheena. 1, 2, 3 says Robin Stevens. So now that two Natalies have won Survivor, Natalie White, Natalie Anderson, who is the better Natalie? Oh, well, Steven, this is clearly that Natalie White is the Natalie that sucks.
I mean, you know, I think Natalie White could play again and do really well, to be honest with you.
Well, who would vote her off?
Yeah, because she's that charming. You know, she's got a lot of charm and a lot of charisma. I won't say anything bad about Natalie White.
Well, I can say for you that Natalie White is the Natalie that sucks, because Natalie Anderson is the far superior Survivor.
Natalie Anderson is a great Natalie, and let's leave it at that.
No, say it. Say that Natalie Anderson is better.
Natalie Anderson Natalie Anderson is obviously a better Survivor player.
Yes.
Yeah. Kim Von Gerich wants to know, Rob and Steven, which move do you consider the smartest, biggest of the season, and why? This is interesting because it's not just, well, you go ahead.
I think that the biggest move of the season was voting out John at the final six.
I think that was. What I mean, what about voting out Josh, though? That was a huge move. I think that might have been the biggest move of the season. That was the move that like really swung the game from one entire group to another entire group. Jeremy or Josh? Josh goes.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so, because I can't argue with it. If you want to say that's the biggest move, I think that the voting out John at final six was bigger than voting out Josh at final 11, but you know, it's not a black and white issue.
Yeah. I mean, there's a few key inflection points in the game. You know, those are probably the big two. Yeah. All right. Jacqueline, Scott Grimes wants to know, does Jacqueline join the Amanda Kimmel Hall of Beautiful Second Place Winners who otherwise
what? We don't know. Does Jacqueline join the list of beautiful second place winners with my co-host for this podcast?
Yeah. Hello. Hello.
Well, hello there. Well, hello there. Yes. Beautiful second placers, but we're overshadowed by another player. Yeah. So all that holds true, right?
Yeah.
Who is better, Natalie or JT?
JT is better.
JT is better than Natalie.
Yeah. JT is better than Natalie. I mean, JT had a terrible second season that, you know, obviously, but I think JT is better than Natalie.
But JT had a solid alliance mate for the entire, and it was
kudos on him for recruiting such a great alliance mate.
Yes. And it was, wouldn't you say it was more of a team effort, a collaboration to get to the final two, where Natalie had to do it all by herself without her twinnie?
Natalie did do it all by herself. I still think JT is better.
Well, I got to rewatch your season. I think it's closer than you're willing to admit.
ECD 1029, Erica D wants to know, next season, will you put less stock in the winner's edit?
Right. Are you out on winner's edit?
Here's the thing. I was way off with Jeremy and with John Mish. You know, even earlier in the season, I had dismissed Jeremy's edit. When Josh was eliminated, I was so sure about Josh. I just was like reaching for things. You know, we've all had like emotional moments when we've broken up with someone and we have like a rebound person who's like totally wrong for us. And then we like bounce back to another rebound person who's even more wrong for us before like finally finding the right person. That's my narrative for, you know, edits. And I do think, though, I really do think that there is something that the editors craft the person who wins in a way where they look favorable. They have a lot of strategic confessionals. They don't look stupid ever in the season. They don't get like stupid music for the most part. You know, they're really shown to be owning their games in a really definitive way. If you look at Natalie over the past few episodes, every one of her confessionals is very strategic, very thoughtful, or very personal and very emotional about Nadia, where, you know, almost every other player in the final four or final five had a lot of like goofy moments. You know, and you can say it's because they're goofy people, but I do think there is something to it. Yeah, I was wrong. There's no question that I was wrong. You know, a few people, but I do think that the winner is edited in a certain way, even if there's not one discrete winner's edit.
Steven, I posted this question to the patrons today on Facebook. Oh, I said, what do you think has the higher likelihood of having a satisfying conclusion? Survivor San Juan del Sur or Serial?
100% San Juan del Sur.
Well, by a mile. By a country mile. Yeah. Okay. Keith Dixon says, are you disappointed Baylor didn't get to perform Sticky Situation at the reunion? Steve, I don't know if I've ever gotten your opinion on Sticky Situation.
I haven't heard it. I've only heard the jokes about it.
Here, well, let me give you a little taste. Here you go. Feels like I stepped in. Yeah, Sticky Situation, Baylor Wilson.
She's got a nice voice.
Okay, so you're in?
I'm in. I want to hear Sticky Situation too.
Yeah. I feel like Baylor wasn't that upset she got voted out.
Well, I wonder, like, you know, there was some interview, I think on your podcast, right, with John Mish, where he said, you know, they had talked about Baylor leaving the game.
Yeah, Missy said she was relieved.
Yeah, I mean, maybe because obviously if they had like talked about the issue of maybe one of us should step down, in some ways it's like nice to have it resolved for you. Because, right, if they had talked about the possibility of having one of them step down to give them better odds at the jury.
Yeah, okay. Here's
a question for you. Do you think that Missy and Baylor would have had, in fact, a better narrative if it had been the two of them in the final three with someone like Natalie?
No, I don't think they may not have gotten any votes. It might have been 9-0 Natalie.
Yeah. Eight, right? Eight jurors.
I'm sorry. 8-0.
Do you think though that like, so you don't think there's any like stronger case that they can make in that situation? That's like, you know, we are the only couple left. We entered this game together. We made it all the way together. You know, there's freaking two of us here and that is hard.
It's possible, but I still think that Natalie, does she get maybe John and Jacqueline's vote and wins it 6-2?
No.
All right, let's do a couple more questions here because it's getting late here on finale night. Michelle wants to know, thought on the lack of questions by the jury. Is this another example of the lack of gameplay by most this season?
Yeah, I do think so. I think, you know, you had like Keith kind of had a rambling question. Wes had a rambling question. Alec had a rambling question. And that's just based on like who they cast, right? They cast people who were not necessarily the smartest human beings in the world.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go to this question from Stacy.
Stacy wants to know, Arhab, who are three players from this season you would want to see return again for an All-Stars if they ever do one again? That's a good question.
All right. Give me three players for an All-Stars. Can I get my 20?
Obviously, Nadia.
Well, it would be fun to see Nadia to say like her identical twin won. Like, and then like, or it, what would be really fun is if it was Natalie and she told everybody that she was Nadia.
She was Nadia. She lost.
Wouldn't that be brilliant if Natalie came back for an All-Star season? And they said, no, like, guys, what are you talking about? I'm Nadia. I got voted off first and the first one off. And they voted her off first again because that's what you do when you're
like the joke.
Yeah.
You know that. I mean, that's, yeah.
That would be great. Give me Jeremy.
Yeah.
I want Jeremy to come back and then a third All-Star. What are you going to say, Steven? I'm curious to know your thought.
I would say the third is Josh.
Josh?
I didn't think Josh was, I didn't think he was super dynamic, but I thought he played a really strong game.
Felt like Jeff loved Josh.
Did he? That's good. I thought Josh was really, I thought he played a really good game. He, you know, he was really in control. And he was super charming. So I think Josh 100%, you know. I'm sorry. I do think he was dynamic. So I think Natalie, Jeremy, and Josh would be the three I'd bring back.
Okay. All right.
What about you? Would Josh be your third?
I think I was a little bit more of a, like, I feel like if, from what the show would do, I think Reed is head and shoulders above Josh, especially after the jury speech. But for me, I'm probably more of a Jeremy, Natalie, and there's probably not anybody else that they're going to bring back.
I liked Reed too, but like he was so, he had zero edit, right? Like he was almost invisible for most of the show. So.
He had a good run though, the last couple episodes.
He did in the last few episodes. You're absolutely right. Maybe, so maybe I assume that he wasn't, maybe, you know, Reed would be in there for me as well.
All right, let's do two last questions. Okay, you take this one.
All right, Tiger Rahr wants to know, what happens if the jury votes had been a tie? Would there be a second vote live on stage? Sorry, I don't mean to laugh.
Yeah, why do you laugh?
Because this is like the fundamental question that we hear that everyone asks all the time. No one knows what would happen if the jury votes were a tie.
Yeah. Would it be then all of the random children that Jeff spoke to on the episode, they would vote then?
Yeah. I believe that's in the list.
Like, all right, Olivia Feldman, you will cast the vote now for the winner of Survivor.
Like someone from each of the caller tribes.
Yeah. All right. One last question here tonight. Charlie Sherwin, does not talking to Kelly Wentworth in the reunion hurt her chances for Miss Survivor? Well, I can't imagine that it helps the chances for Miss Survivor.
We don't know who. It's season 30 will be in the Miss Survivor pageant, right?
They will be, but they will be competing for Miss Survivor 2016.
Oh, so this is so Kelly Wentworth, clearly like insanely beautiful woman. And I feel like there's gonna be like an Angie Layton phenomenon where she's not gonna win because she was off too early.
Okay, well, we'll see. We'll see how that goes. That was more of a Rob's podcast question. Let's take one more Survivor question. Okay, Rob's versus John's versus Natalie's. Natalie's have the most successful players. Why are Natalie's so good at Survivor? You got Natalie Tenorelli. One of the beautiful second place finishers. Actually, yeah, I think she did come in third.
Third.
I think
she came in third. Yeah.
Then you have Natalie Bolton.
Very, you know, final four, I think.
Yeah, of daughter of Roose Bolton. So I think that so lots of Natalie's have done very well on Survivor.
Yeah, Russell's also. No, Russell's are high variants.
High variants on Russell's. Yeah. All right, Stephen. Anyway, so what do you do for the finale? You give a fishy to Natalie for winning?
Yeah, you know, it's an easy fishy to award.
Okay, so do you give a season fishy?
I mean, Natalie actually won five fishies of the 14 fishies that I think I gave out. So she really was the big fishy winner, even though she did kind of have like a questionable start. You know, and I went back and I looked at some of the columns, and she was really really playing, you know, in a noticeable way throughout the season, even if she kind of did get overshadowed a little bit by some of the, the bigger shifts between Josh and Jeremy and then John Mish. So yeah, you know, she was great.
By the way, did you catch on the Survivor Reddit this week that somebody went back and tallied all of the fishies you've ever given away?
Yes, that was amazing. Russell won the most by far.
How many fishies does Russell Hantz have?
He had like 17 or 19 or something. I don't know.
17 or 19 fishies.
But he won every fishy basically in Samoa. Maybe I gave one to somebody like Natalie White, I guess, won at the end. He won a ton of them in Heroes vs. Villains. I think he definitely won one, you know, in like a Brandon season when he suddenly appeared on the beach in a flashback and inspired Brandon. The thing I was disappointed about, I think I gave Tony Vlachos two, and that was, you know, that, you know, it's history is going to judge me hard for that.
Nah, that's like Seinfeld didn't win a lot of Emmys.
Yeah, exactly. Like at the moment, you know,
The Wire, I don't think I ever won any Emmys.
That's outrageous.
So look, the accolades don't always come.
No, like it's like always this like random thing that wins.
All right, Stephen, fantastic job this season. We'll be waiting for the People blog tomorrow. All right, so we're gonna have exit interviews with the final with top five, baby, coming up tomorrow on Rob as a podcast, and then I will do our season wrap up with Josh Wigler. That'll be up for you guys on Friday morning, and then we'll have our Amazing Race finale. Stephen, are you pumped up for the Amazing Race finale this Friday night?
I actually have been watching the race a little bit with my viewing partner, and I don't even know. I've never been a big race fan, but I'm rooting for like the Soul Surfers.
Soul Surfers, yeah.
Yeah.
What about you?
Who are you rooting for?
Well, I would say that the heart would probably root for the Soul Surfers, but I think the wrestlers have been the best TV this season.
The dentists have some sort of manic drive, right?
Yeah, they're good too. They're good too. Yeah. All right. So, Steven, very excited. Can't wait to get back together with you for the next Know-It-Alls for Survivor 30. Can you believe it?
It's going to be huge. So excited for it. So excited to podcast about it. So excited for our live Know-It-Alls in March.
Yeah, March 11th coming up. I think there's
sold out.
I think there are there might be a couple of seats left if you want to get in on that. This is the last podcast before we come back. It will definitely be sold out by the time we come back for the next Know-It-All. So if you are listening to this,
wait, can we hoard and scalp a few tickets?
Can feel free to buy them and you can scalp them. Go to robinswebsite.com/KIA live for the live show on Gotham Comedy Club for March 11th. All right, Steven, do you have a hashtag for this final supersized episode of the Know-It-Alls?
Oh, I don't know. 20 plus. Can we do 20 plus?
20 plus.
Yeah.
20 all right, sure.
Plus.
It's a callback.
Yeah.
All right, Steven, you have a great night. Everybody else, enjoy your evening and your Thursday. And we'll be back with more exit interviews and lots of stuff to close out Survivor season. And Happy Holidays 3 is also around the corner. Got some fun stuff planned as well. So, Steven, take care. Great job this season. Thank you,
Scott.
Likewise,
Rob. Congratulations on another great season of Know-It-Alls.
Rob's the best. Know-It-All. Steven should have never made that call.
You know this is stuck in my head. You know that I sing this at night. Like, I have it in my head.
A lot of people. You're not the only one. You're not the only one. Thanks, Scott St. Pierre, as well. Great job with pulling the questions. And thanks to everybody who stayed up late tonight for watching the show. Really appreciate it. Talk to you guys soon. And let us know what you think in the comments. Take care, everybody. Bye.